Real quick before we start, apologies for the audio. It's not terrible, but my audio is definitely a louder volume than Matt's. Completely my fault. It won't happen again. Hopefully you can still enjoy listening. 10 to 1, episode 194, Top 10 Professional Wrestlers!
Welcome to 10 to 1. I was going to do a Randy Savage, Macho Man Randy Savage impression.
Oh, that'd be great.
Welcome to
10. You know how to do it?
Oh, it's terrible. Welcome to 10 to 1, the podcast where we make top 10 lists about everything. That was pretty bad. But I'm Brian Kozer.
And I'm Matt Anderson.
Matt Anderson, welcome to the podcast.
It's great to be here. Always fun to podcast with you. And I don't know when you're releasing this, but we got to hang out in real life just last weekend. So welcome back to your home state. How has it been since you had to leave us here in Minnesota?
It's been a good week, but I did have a lot of fun visiting you guys. Anything you want to say before we jump in, or you want to give like how you got into wrestling and all that as we do our lists?
Well, no, let us talk about wrestling here for a quick second. All so right. I can't remember. I was trying to remember the conversation that we had. We were texting. We always text.
Yeah.
And did you always bring up me being on your show, or did I invite myself onto the show? That's the first question. Were you looking for somebody to be on an episode just at random ranking, and then I brought up wrestling? I know I brought up the topic, but did you invite me, or did I invite myself? That's what I want to start with.
I think we had actually talked about this topic at some point. And this particular time, you and Ben were complaining last time I was on your show, the Sci-Fi Christian, that I hadn't invited you on for a while. And in fact, it had had another friend that was Roman Catholic. And so Ben was annoyed about that. So you kind of invited yourselves on. But it's great.
You say that we've talked about this topic before, which I believe, but I remember texting you this idea recently and thinking more of a joke. Like I didn't believe we would actually do it because I know you don't watch wrestling. So when you brought up that you did want to do it, it actually kind of switched out because now I'm on the spot to make a list. And I'll admit, even though I've been a longtime wrestling fan,
yeah,
when I was actually on the spot to make a top 10 ranking of my favorite professional wrestlers of all time, I think like the only one that I have certainly locked in is number one.
Interesting.
Otherwise, it's a little up in the air. But I'm going to give you my list as of today, late 2025.
And I'll do the same. This is my list as of today.
Thank you. That's good. Okay, so I will talk about my history with wrestling.
Okay.
I'm more interested. Maybe I should start there because I'm very interested in how you're going to come up with your list. Because I don't know about your history with wrestling, if any. I think you have none.
It's going to be
or minimal.
Well, that's going to come out while I'm doing the list. I'll tell my history with wrestling as we go.
All right, I'm going to tell my story, I was going to say slowly, but actually I mean the exact opposite. I'm going to tell my story quickly. 1992, I am 10 years old, and I traveled to the state of Florida to visit some family members there. My uncle and my cousin were watching WWF, which was called at the time, now WWE.
Right.
I liked watching it with them while I was there on vacation. When I went back, I remember went back home, that is. I remember checking it out here and there. Now we're in late 92. I'm kind of keeping an eye on things. Early 93, the first WrestleMania I feel pretty locked in at happens in spring 1993. And I can't tell you exactly, but I'd say, so I always tell people I started watching in 1992. But I think 1993 is when I was like all in. I found it on TV. I know what time to check it out. And I'm watching every week. Whereas I think prior to that, I was probably sporadically if I came across it. But 1993... WrestleMania 9, this is to me my first WrestleMania.
Cool.
And right now, in modern day, they just had WrestleMania 41.
Wow.
But that sounds like I've been watching forever, right? Well,
yeah.
Look at this. So that we're in 1993. Then fast forward to the year 2006. So now I've been watching for 13 years. And I just was too into it, to be honest. Like, it was like the way some people are into, like, they love football and they just can't miss their team.
Right.
I was watching every episode, and they had multiple episodes a week. I felt like we're Christians here on this podcast, and I think I felt like I'm dedicating more time to my love of professional wrestling than I am into my relationship with God.
Sure.
And so in 2006, I went cold turkey and stopped watching it.
Wow. Oh, that takes a lot to give up on stuff that you like when you feel like it's being too much. So I applaud you.
And in 2019, I don't know what kind of won me over, but I guess I was just at a place where I was ready to get back into it.
Yeah.
After 13 years away. And now I've been watching very regularly since WrestleMania 35 or 6. I can't remember whatever happened in 2019. So since spring 2019, I've seen now everything that's happened since then. And I'm kind of slowly catching up on the years that I missed, because you can go and stream old episodes. So I'm streaming old things so I'm right now in the middle of, I'm late 2009 during this grand catch up that I'm in no big hurry. I've been slowly watching old shows for, I don't know, 5 years now, less than that maybe.
Wow. All
right. That's a big intro. I said, I was going to do it quickly, but that's as fast as I could do it. So now you know my whole history. So I'm very in the loop on wrestling.
Yeah, definitely. Okay. Well, you might be more in the loop than me, I guess. Let's find out. I will start with my 10, and then we'll let you give the final one when we get there. So my number 10 is here's what I tell them. My first encounter with professional wrestling was, I had a friend, Tyler French, who lived in the apartment building we lived in Japan, on an Air Force base. I want to say they lived directly above us in a fun coincidence, because that's not how we met them, but I think they lived literally above our ceiling. And he had a big bin of wrestling action figures. And so I can't remember for sure who all he had, but of course he had Hulk Hogan. He had Randy Savage. I don't remember who all else, but I know for sure he also had Andre the Giant. It's the first time I ever heard of Andre the Giant. Of course, later saw him in The Princess Bride. And so my number 10 is Andre the Giant.
Great pick there. Of course, wonderful. Not on my top 10, but wonderful pick.
Oh, and I should say, I'm going to say how many matches I've seen of each of these.
Okay,
as we
how
go.
How many matches have you seen?
I have seen zero Andre the Giant matches.
All right. Well, if you have to see one, I'd recommend WrestleMania 3, Hulk Hogan versus Andre the Giant.
So I have seen the clip of Hulk Hogan body slamming Andre the Giant. I think that's probably from that match.
Like, I think that might be the biggest moment in any WrestleMania ever.
Whoa.
That's the WrestleMania moment of all time.
Wow. Awesome. All right. So I've seen it. I'm just like you.
So number 10 for me, it's an interesting one. Not somebody who was ever a favorite of mine when I was regularly watching when I was a kid, even though he was a big part of the show.
Mm.
But I mentioned I started watching again here the last 5 years. I have kids now. So I've tried to encourage all my kids to watch it with me. Not all do. But my son has become quite the fan of my number 10. And I think that bumped him up in my own eyes as I started understanding his importance to the industry as a whole.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to go with probably the biggest name. It's the biggest name in professional wrestling history. Hulk Hogan.
Wow.
Is my number 10. Now, like I said, he was around when I was a kid. I didn't gravitate towards him, but seeing that my son loves him so much, I mean, I got to go with this guy. And he is just so important. Now I enjoy seeing old matches with him. I think there was a time where he might have been boring to me in the past, but yeah, this is my son's number one favorite. My son is 6 years old. Hulk Hogan is
nice.
I could go on and on about how much he loves Hulk, who sadly just passed away.
He did. Rest in peace. Terry Bollea. Got baptized a few years ago, right?
Yes, that's right. I mean, I don't know exactly when, but I know he's a Christian.
Yeah, so maybe we'll see him again in that big wrestling ring in the sky.
That's right.
All right. Well, we'll see if he...
All right, what's your number 9?
Yeah, we'll see if that's a crossover for us. My number 9, moving forward a little bit in time, I'm pretty sure... I know this was later... We were living in a different place. We're back in the States. I think this is the same friend. We kind of kept in touch with them and visited a few times. Same friend, I think, had a PlayStation 1 wrestling game. I'm pretty sure it was WCW NWO Thunder. I tried to look it up. And so had some fun playing with that. There was a point where I think we were playing with some of the creepier characters, and my parents were not, or my mom probably was less excited about that. So I remember, but this is one character I remember playing, and I'll tell you about his tag team partner in a minute. But I would play Booker T. He was my favorite favorite character. So I know looks like he's still around. He's like an announcer now, right?
Yeah, so multi-time Hall of Famer for both his tag team work and as a singles wrestler. And yes, he's currently a regular announcer every Tuesday night on NXT, which is their development brand. So they have two main roster
minor
shows.
Leagues.
They have Monday Night Raw and Friday Night SmackDown, but they also have their NXT show, where this is where they have younger wrestlers training, but they're learning on TV. And then eventually these characters possibly get brought up to the main roster.
Nice. Yeah, that makes sense. Okay.
Yeah, so Booker T, great choice.
And that's,
what a career.
Yeah, that's funny that he's in the Hall of Fame also for his tag team. Because I remember we played a lot of tag team matches. And his tag team partner when I played was usually a robot.
Oh.
Because there was also made up characters. This was just literally a silver humanoid robot that was also in the game for some reason.
His real life tag team partner is his real life brother, Stevie Ray.
Oh.
They formed the team called Harlem Heat.
Fun.
I mean, definitely one of the most decorated tag teams in wrestling history.
Nice. Well, there we go. This is going great. That's my number nine, Booker T.
You know, I love how you're talking about friends. I've introduced you to things. So, I just want to say, you know, my friend Kobe, who we've mentioned on the Sci-Fi Christian show multiple times, a previous host over there. And I don't think I'd be watching wrestling today if it wasn't for him, because he was the friend that would still invite me over to keep watching things in my kind of like hiatus years. And now I think he might be on his own little hiatus. And he still checks in, but I feel like I'm watching it more than him these days. All right, number nine. You ready for this?
I'm ready.
All right, this is a character who, again, similar to Hulk Hogan, he was always around. I always appreciated him when I was watching him when I was a regular viewer, more in my teenage years. A huge part of the story, but I don't think at the time I would have been able to voice the opinion that he was one of my favorites. Mm. But then as I look back on favorite moments, favorite matches, and I'm making this list for you, all of a sudden I'm realizing, oh my gosh, this guy has to be on my list somewhere. So I'm going with my number nine pick, The Undertaker.
Wow.
30-year career, just retired in, what was it, the year 2020 he had his last match. I think he started in 1990. So have you heard of The Undertaker?
The Dead Man.
Oh, I see you looking at your list. Is he going to show up on your list later?
We'll have to wait and see.
All right. So I'll stop there on The Undertaker in case you want to say some more great things about him later.
Yeah. He has a great look.
All right. Well, he's the rare wrestler who stayed in character at all times, in and out of the ring. If you saw him in real life, he'd try to stay in character. Because we've kind of moved beyond that. In the old days, of course, this is how wrestlers acted, where like a good guy and a bad guy couldn't go out to eat together. Today, that's not like that. But The Undertaker, when he was actively wrestling, stayed in his character at all times.
That is cool. That is one of the things yes, I did research. I did research for this. That's one thing I appreciate it's like the magician in The Prestige is the example I always think of, the person that like lives their act. That is interesting. And the interaction between like real life and the characters and how much
it's crazy.
Yeah, that is fun, isn't it?
There's nothing like it. And I know I'm just going on and on, but I'll just say I'm a person who enjoys live theater. Me and my wife like to go to musicals together.
Yeah.
We go to plays together. Wrestling, if you boil it down, it's live theater. It's like sports infused play that they're doing every week live on TV. But because it's real, you've got real personalities that might conflict. So there might be things going on behind the scenes. So you might have characters on TV that are getting along great, but they really hate each other in real life, or vice versa. But then some of those real life rivalries, like The Rock and Stone Cold, people know those two names. These guys both wanted to be the top person in wrestling when they were there together. So they had sort of this rivalry that transcended what you saw on the screen.
Interesting. Yeah. And that's like the hardest theater to do, right? There's no behind, like it's in the round, theater in the round where, you know, So it's super impressive. And the stunts, of course, you can't fake gravity. They're actually right. So, it is definitely a unique combination.
I mean, I hear just one last thing about this. You know, they're writing stories, they're telling episodic television.
Yeah.
But like just recently, in the last week, one of the very main characters was injured in real life.
Mm.
Well, they have months of story planned around this guy.
Yeah.
But now he's out for, we don't know exactly, this all just happened. Let's just say he's out for 6 months. Well, now they have to totally rework whatever story they're going to tell. So it's much different than like a scripted television show.
Right.
Even though it is scripted, it's different than like Lost, where they kind of have a plan, they can stick with it unless an actor decides to leave the show.
Right. Like Mr. Echo,
actually happened to Lost. That's right. Yeah. So,
but more often things are going to happen. Right. Injuries or contracts or whatever that are going to. Yeah, that is also super interesting, like long-term storytelling while also having to have like episodic payoffs. That's got to be really hard to do well.
Here's another thing. I know we're doing a top 10, but
here's
another thing that's interesting about wrestling. So I'm trying to get my wife into this. So I was recently talking to her about this specific next topic, championships. Obviously, it's a scripted story.
Yeah.
So no one is really fighting to see who is the best, but you'll see countless times I've seen a wrestler win the championship and get in real life emotional about winning.
Right.
But it's not because of the story necessarily. It's because it's like, in some ways you can think of it as like a promotion at work. It's also another way you can think of it as the company like has faith in you to be the main character.
Yeah.
But these guys they're also training like athletes. So they're working hard to be the best in this like theater, athletic activity. So like I was saying, you see them like start crying because they've won a belt that is not a real championship.
Right.
But it's real to them because
it's still an accomplishment.
It's an accomplishment in their in their industry. It's like an accomplishment because they're trusted to be the person that holds that championship.
And so we haven't even brought in crowds yet, but like if you're being like booed incessantly, you're probably just, or maybe if you're booed and you're you could be being very successful if that's what you're trying to get. But like if you're not engaging the crowds, or if people are slagging you on the internet, that's also an aspect of, you have to win people over. So so there is a lot that goes into being a successful wrestler. Interesting. Okay.
The crowds are a giant part of the story. They help shape the direction of things in some ways, but I've heard numerous wrestlers say in interviews that they don't care if they're being booed or cheered. The worst thing would be silence. They need some, like if the crowd has any feelings towards them, that's a win.
If they
don't care, then that's where you're in trouble.
Makes total sense. And especially I know we have a time limit. We're going to have to eventually finish this, but the way that there's still somewhat a developed way of there being good guys and bad guys, so faces and heels.
Right.
I found out from my research is what they're called. Right. and there's like rules, like conventions that have been built up around this. Is interesting. That's just interesting to me in a where you wouldn't see that in a lot of entertainment, where I know there's characters that are in between or go back and forth between, but that sort of black and white morality, or like more stark contrast, I guess. Even if it is more blurred than it was like in the 80s. That's interesting. Yeah. How much of that is hung around?
Oh yeah, definitely.
Okay.
That's still a big part of the story. All right, number eight.
Number eight for me. So then, continuing on. Oh, I didn't say. Did I say I have not seen any Booker T matches?
Oh no, you didn't say that.
Okay, zero matches.
That's too bad.
okay, so then my number eight. So this is now. I know the date for this. This is July 6th, 1998. I'm in Pennsylvania.
Oh my gosh, I know what happened on that day.
Do you really?
I was watching it live at an Applebee's.
Funny because I was also watching live.
So you're in Pennsylvania.
I'm in Pennsylvania visiting my grandparents. This is my dad's parents. So my dad's dad, my dad, and me are sitting in grandpa's basement.
Okay.
And apparently, I didn't find this out until later, but apparently grandpa was somewhat into professional wrestling.
I hung out with him
way back in the day. Like, he was a Bruno Sammartino guy, right, and like the Iron Sheik, and some of these real far back characters. And so we're there in his basement, and on comes WCW championship match between is he Hollywood?
Yeah,
the Hogan at this
Hollywood
point.
Hulk Hogan versus the undefeated.
Yes, my number eight, Goldberg. Yes, wow. With his undefeated streak.
So you must have just, this moment meant something to you.
It did. I can remember my mom coming in and saying, "Wrestling? Why are you watching wrestling?" And my dad sort of like shrugs and is like, "It's Hulk Hogan and Goldberg."
Yeah, exactly.
Like, it was something that we were even aware of, like that there was an undefeated character. And of course, you know who Hulk Hogan is. And so,
this point, Hulk Hogan's turned bad. They call him Hollywood Hulk Hogan because he's in the movies, even though he's never the kind of movie star that Rock was.
Yeah.
Well, this moment, okay, so I don't have Goldberg on my list, I'll admit. He is in my top 25, which I also made.
Oh.
But I'll give some runners up later.
Okay.
But this, I did, as I was making this list for you, I was thinking through my favorite matches and moments.
Interesting.
And this match is in my top 10 favorite matches.
Wow.
Because it was. Because I'm watching both WWE and WCW actively.
Yeah.
This is a giant story. This character, like you just mentioned, Goldberg, undefeated. They finally build him up. Actually, I feel like they might have even pushed it a little quickly to get him to Hogan.
Mm.
But this match, they aired on free television instead of making it a pay-per-view. So it was on Monday Night Nitro, like you mentioned. I happened to be out with some friends, and the Applebee's bar, instead of having, well, it would have been July, so it wouldn't have been football, but instead of having any sport on, had Nitro on. So I'm watching this match from a booth at Applebee's, and yeah, it was just very memorable. Yeah. I love this moment.
That's great. So
great number eight.
So I've seen one Goldberg match.
Okay, that's great. Well, that's the best one. It's literally the best. It is the best Goldberg match.
Nice. All right, you're number eight.
All right. Number eight for me. Again, I've never made a list. Even though I've had favorites in my head, I've never tried to craft in a way where I'm now preparing to tell the world who my favorite people are.
Yeah.
But there is a guy who, who's just been somebody who I've liked at different levels at different times, but I can't leave him off my list. And right now, he's actually one of the current bosses of all of WWE. His name is Triple H. Have you heard this name, Triple H?
Hunter Helmsley.
Yeah, Hunter Hurst Helmsley.
Hunter Hurst Helmsley.
So he started as like a blue blood, arrogant character, Hunter Hurst Helmsley. But when they wanted to change his character and make him more gritty, they just started calling him Triple H and ignored his full name. In real life, he's best friends with Shawn Michaels and some other guys I won't mention at this point, because what I want to bring up is he ends up becoming a main character for a group called D-Generation X, which maybe you've heard of. Have you heard of DX or D-Generation X?
I have.
And real quick, just to wrap up the reason I had to put him in my top 10, the year 1999, the summer of 1999, SummerSlam comes to Minnesota. This is, one of the biggest moments of all of my teenage years, and that's not an exaggeration.
Wow.
And so August of 1999, the events come in, and I'm following, even at this point as a teenager, I'm about 16. I'm following internet news. It's early internet, but I'm following early internet wrestling news, rumors.
Yeah.
And all the rumors are pointing to Triple H is going to be made champion for the first time at SummerSlam. Uh-huh. So I just basically at this point, even though I had already liked him, I jumped more onto the bandwagon.
Yeah.
And was fully supporting him throughout that lead up. SummerSlam happens. He's in the main event. He does not win.
Oh.
Out of nowhere, he doesn't win. I think they were just trying to swerve the audience because it was set up so much. Like, it was almost like too obvious. Mm. So they had him lose at SummerSlam. The next night on Monday Night Raw, he wins the belt. So he loses on in front of me, but then wins the next night wherever they were. So Triple H, number
That's
eight.
Fun.
And right now he's the head of creative. So he is the person who makes the final decision on what stories are being told.
He's the new Vince McMahon, sort of.
Not exactly, because Vince was chairman of the whole thing. He's now specifically in charge of
corporate
creative.
Bot. Okay. Yeah. I guess that's another interesting thing of like you've talked about on your show with like the James Bond films, how it was like one guy and then his daughter, right? We're kind of like in charge of the franchise for a long time. Super interesting when you talk about long-term narratives, having one person in charge of something for a really long time like that. Also is an interesting aspect.
Yes, I loved when WWE was family-owned, and I didn't mention this, but Triple H ended up marrying Vince McMahon's daughter. So in real life, he is the son-in-law to Vince. And so he had family power behind the scenes until just in the last few years, Vince sold WWE. And I was disappointed just as a family man, just because I thought he was going to be leaving this to his family. But he did not.
That is a disappointment.
Yeah.
All right. Great number eight. My number seven now is, let me scroll back up. Okay. So I did do research for this. And so when you start looking up clips on YouTube, one of the first things you're going to come across is a few different clips of Mick Foley.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I love this guy.
So my number seven is Mankind. So I will go ahead and say I've seen two matches.
Okay. And one of them was King of the Ring 1998. June 28th, maybe 1998. Is that right?
Yes. Wait, let's see. Yes. The Hell in the Cell match.
Yes. Hell in a Cell.
Yes.
I want to see how closely I got the date. I don't know if I have it right, but June 28th, 1998. That's my guess.
I just have that it's 1998. I don't know the month.
Okay,
but against the Undertaker. Undertaker throws him off. They both climb up to the top of the cell. He throws him off onto a table.
How did you happen to see this match?
Right. I think I must have been searching something like best WWE matches or best WWE moments or something like that.
Yeah.
And this must have been pretty high up.
How recently did you do that search?
Research for this. I said I researched. So I saw this.
Oh, okay. So your research to
within
make this
the last few weeks.
Generated Mankind and this match.
Yes.
And so you just put them on the list. Okay, well, let me tell you the history of this, because I have two favorite matches for different reasons. One is a technically great, when I say technically, even though it's scripted, there is an art form to technical wrestling moves that they're doing on each other. They're working together.
Right.
So I have two favorite matches, one that's technical and one that is just the craziest thing I've ever seen in my whole life. And it's this match. I've never seen anything like it. And I watched it that night.
Really?
I bought this pay-per-view. And so to see it happen live, so this guy gets thrown off of the top of a 20-foot cage.
Yeah.
It was a cage with a top. Undertaker throws Mankind off, whose real name is Mick Foley. Falls to the floor through an announcer's table, he starts getting stretchered out. I mean, this is a real person, so even though it's a stunt, you're like, well, this match is over. It's not over. They do, 15 or more minutes of a match, including another fall from the top of the cage.
Yeah,
it's nuts.
They do the thumbtacks. He pours a bunch of thumbtacks on and then gets choke slammed under the thumbtacks.
I love Mick Foley for a lot of things, and I know he doesn't personally want to be remembered just for this match.
Yeah,
but you just have to respect somebody who's willing to put. I know it sounds silly, but yeah, these wrestlers are putting their bodies on the line for entertainment.
Yeah,
This is a crazy moment. I love Mick Foley. I've met him 3 times.
What?
He's not on my list, and he should be. Aww. I'm just realizing.
Should be.
I've went in and got his autograph 3 different occasions.
Oh, cool.
Yes, and just probably one of the nicest people in all of wrestling.
Wow.
Just an actual real life nice guy.
Yeah. Yeah, so then the other, I'm guessing you've seen him winning the championship against The Rock. That's the match that I saw of his.
Yep, definitely. Yeah, the first time he wins it. Actually, when I mentioned that Triple H lost when I was at SummerSlam,
yeah,
it was a triple threat between Mankind, Triple H, and Stone Cold, and Mankind was the one that won that night.
Oh, fun.
So I think that was his first world title win.
Okay, got it. Yeah, so I will say he would be higher, except a lot of the stuff that he was into, like I see he was doing a barbed wire match and stuff like that. Not a fan.
I know. So I agree. At the time when I was a teenager, I liked it when they would have blood and crazy stuff. Now, two reasons. Number one, I just can't take it personally. And number two, I can't let my kids watch that. So
yeah,
there's a lot of stuff from my past, like I guess my past viewing, I should say, that I can't show them because of the directions it goes. And I don't like overly, they would call it hardcore, overly hardcore matches.
Right.
I can take a little bit, but not like blood and barbed wire and I hate that.
Yeah, so
it's
even
worse now. There's some stuff happening in some current wrestling that's unviewable to me. Not on WWE because they try to be a little bit more family friendly, but it's out there.
Yeah, like AEW. Are they hardcore?
I don't want to throw them under the bus.
Under the bus they go.
Crazy stuff. Just this last weekend, I still follow news even though I don't watch AEW. Just this past weekend, towards the end of one of their matches, somebody had a fish aquarium out like in the ring, and they tried to drown his opponent to win a match. Not that that's like the most graphic thing.
Yeah,
I can't show that to my kids.
I guess
that's nuts.
Yeah.
Although we don't watch AEW in general, but yeah, I'm not against it. I just don't. I have no way of watching it.
Yeah. All right. So that's my number 7.
Well, Brian, Mankind. What about the cross a threshold for me?
All right.
Because so far, like I said, it was a little tough to make this list, but now we're entering, like, these are my top favorites. And there's going to be some that might be controversial, maybe for political views or maybe because of allegations that have been made against them. But before I go on with my list, I just want to say I'm basing these picks on my enjoyment of them as wrestlers.
Of course.
Whatever happened, even I guess I could have even said that with Hulk Hogan. There's a lot of people that don't like Hulk Hogan because of where he lies politically.
Sure.
I'm picking...
You mean 6 feet underground?
I'm picking somebody who means something to me wrestling-wise.
Of course.
And I'm kind of setting aside anything else. Okay,
of course.
Let's move on. That doesn't necessarily apply to my next entry, which is, I hate to do it, Brian, but I cheated and I made a tie for this number 7. There's two guys that just...
They better be like tag team partners or something.
Yes, just listen to the story. If you don't know, this will be hopefully interesting to you.
Okay.
There's two men that changed professional wrestling as we know it in the mid-1990s, and their names are Kevin Nash and Scott Hall. They helped with Hulk Hogan form the New World Order, the NWO. They're in WWF, they had the stage names of Diesel for Kevin Nash and Razor Ramon for Scott Hall.
Ah.
They're popular characters in WWF, and that's where I was first introduced to them. And I mentioned early 90s, I start watching. I was primarily a WWF watcher, but started dabbling in WCW. But what really made me watch WCW as regularly as WWF is the introduction of the NWO. So Kevin Nash and Scott Hall, very big characters in WWF, go over to WCW, but they start a storyline where it's as if WWF is invading WCW.
That's fun.
And so they purposely use their real-life names, and they imply that they're still working for Vince McMahon, but they're to take over WCW. And this starts a whole giant storyline that, you know, people would argue on how well it pays off in the end. But it sparked something in viewership that that translated over to WWF having to shake up their own brand and led to character. I mean, there's a lot that happened. NWO, I feel like, was like a moment in time that changed the direction of wrestling. So I put Scott Hall, Kevin Nash together. These are two of my favorite people. I mean, even seven seems low, to be honest. Just the way I just talked about them, maybe I should have put them in front of who I'm about to say. Yeah, they could be my number six, easy.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. So
I've heard of either of these two people. I know you played that NWO video game. Do you know Scott Hall or Kevin Nash?
I know the names. I remember Kevin Nash is a very tall guy.
Yep, definitely tall. So over 7 feet tall. Oh, if you to believe.
Is he really? Wow.
Well, you know, they sometimes give stage heights and stage weights. So sure. I don't know. He was billed as 7 feet tall. I guess I don't know exactly how tall he actually is.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember. Yes. I've seen clips of both of them in my research.
Okay. Well, I can live with that.
So.
All right. What do you have for number six?
All right. So then my number six is, you know, as I'm doing some of this research, watching clips and such. And it's definitely, you can see in the sort of the transition from, again, like the Hulk Hogan, Andre the Giant, two very large muscular guys kind of lumbering around. And then it gets much more athletic, much more acrobatic, I guess, as we go farther. Mm-hmm. And so I think just... like you've talked about, there's different aspects of professional wrestling, but just purely for inside the ring, most fun to watch. This has got to be like the guy that is like what it would be like to watch Spider-Man wrestle, although you can watch Spider-Man wrestle.
That's right, you can.
In the first Tobey Maguire Spider-Man movie.
I mean, in like all of Spider-Man's origin stories, he does attempt to be a wrestler.
Right.
And Macho Man's in there.
That's right. Bonesaw? Is it Bonesaw?
Bonesaw.
Bonesaw. You want to guess who this is?
Rey Mysterio.
It's Rey Mysterio. So yeah, I've seen two Rey Mysterio matches. And he's great.
I love Rey Mysterio. He's also in my top 25 that I made for you.
Yeah.
He's also another one of my son's favorite wrestlers. Yeah. I bought him, was it last year? I bought him a Rey Mysterio mask. So Rey Mysterio is a luchador, the greatest. I mean, this is not an exaggeration. He's the greatest luchador of all time.
Wow.
That would be, you know, the well-known mask wrestler is for sure the best. And his career is crazy long. I first saw this guy.
It's crazy.
I'm just throwing it out there. I might be a little bit off on these dates. But I think the first time I saw him wrestle in WCW would have been 1995 or 1996. And I'm sure he started earlier than that. And he's still wrestling actively right now.
Is he, he's got to be about the same age as you or older?
No. He has to be older because I was watching him when I was a teenager. So he had to have been at least an adult wrestling, I'm guessing. So he's 10, he's between 5 to 10 years older than me. He has to be.
That's crazy. So he's in his 50s and he's still.
Yeah. Yeah, still doing it. He still wears the mask.
Yeah.
And so, and I actually think that helps his character stay timeless because we don't see him aging. Because he's just been wearing the mask all the time. I've seen him without the mask, of course, but he wears it wrestling now. And his son is wrestling right now for like about the last 5 years. He's been an active member of WWE. He's one of the main characters. Like, he's a champion currently. So both Rey Mysterio and his son, Dominic Mysterio, are wrestling at the same time, which is great.
That is pretty fun. Are you a Dominic Mysterio fan?
Well, I'm glad you asked because I'm such a big fan. Well, first of all, let me just say, yes, I'm such a big fan. But secondly, last year I mentioned that I gave, this is what I gave my son a mask for Halloween. I bought him a Rey Mysterio mask because he was Rey Mysterio for Halloween last year. And so I was Dominic Mysterio.
That is fun.
And those were our Halloween costumes that we went trick-or-treating as just last year. Well, you know, I didn't trick-or-treat. I did go along with him in a Dominic Mysterio t-shirt.
Right. Fun. I think if Dominic put a mask on, I think I would like him a lot more.
Well, he does wear a mask to the ring, but he takes it off before he wrestles.
Interesting.
Yeah, he wears the mask of Rey Mysterio Sr. because technically Rey Mysterio's original stage name was Rey Mysterio Jr. His uncle was Rey Mysterio Sr. and Dominic wears that mask.
Gotcha.
All right, let's do it. You ready for number six for me?
I am ready for number six for you.
This is the one that I probably should have swapped with the Outsiders from the NWO, but
okay.
Here we go. And if, okay, I'm just going to get to it. This is a wrestler from, well, he started his life in South Dakota, but really made a name for himself here in my state of Minnesota. Oh. He was a wrestler, an amateur wrestler for the University of Minnesota. What was that?
Was he a governor of Minnesota?
No. But we can talk about that if you want. No, he was a championship amateur wrestler for the University of Minnesota, and his name was Brock Lesnar. Yep, he wrestled from 2002 to 2004 and then decided to leave WWE. He pursued briefly a football career where he did make it onto the Vikings team without any football background.
That's crazy.
I forgot what happened. It ended up not working out. He did not stay on the team.
Yeah.
And then just went straight to UFC.
Yeah.
And became a champion in real fighting.
Right.
I hate to say it like that because I'm such a fan of wrestling, but you know, non-scripted, I should say.
Right.
And then I want to say 2014, 2015, somewhere around there. I wasn't watching at the time, but he comes back to professional wrestling and he's just been kind of like in and out since then. So for like the last 10 years, he's in and out, and he's currently just, he wrestled as recently as September of this year. I mentioned how I like technical wrestling, and I mean, he's got to be one of the best technical wrestlers of all time.
Wow.
So strong.
So
strong and fun to watch. My wife loves his finishing move because he just like picks a guy up on his shoulders and swings him around like a tornado. So he calls his move the F5 because he's doing it to the person looks like they're in a tornado.
Nice. He, yes, very striking. Like, definitely looks like a wrestler. Like, if you were gonna, like, I think if you like pick different eras, maybe, and like this guy looks like a wrestler at this point. I think like Triple H for like the what is that, 90s, 2000s. He just looks like that guy, and then Brock Lesnar maybe for his time. Like very unique, but like a built like a tank.
Yeah, if I was to pick the scariest wrestler, like of in real life, like who would I be? Which person would I actually be the most afraid to ever encounter?
Yeah,
it would be Brock Lesnar.
Yeah,
because I can't quite tell. He doesn't do a lot of interviews, so you don't quite know what his real personality is like. But he seems like the kind of guy that you just like doesn't. You just don't want to mess with him. Just give him space. I'm sure he's a great guy, but I would be afraid to meet him.
Right. Okay.
And right now he's in Canada. I wish he still lived in Minnesota. I'd love to just be at Target and run into him there or something. That'd be great.
I think he famously doesn't like to interact with fans.
Okay, see.
Very retiring, very, very private.
Sounds like you've done your research. I like this. I'm bringing in, I know you can't see me because my video's not on, but all of this, I'm just saying off the top of my head, which is why I'm sure I'm getting some dates and things a little wrong, but I like how you've done some research also. So we're bringing in two different sides to this.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And I would say Brock Lesnar's a honorable mention for me.
All right. Brian, number five.
All right. Now we've done half our list.
Just keep going. I love this.
Okay. Do you have to... When do you have to be done?
Just keep going. I did have a time limit, listeners, but let's just keep going and just... Let's just see... Maybe we're probably close, right? We've got out a lot of the intro stories.
Sure. I will... Let me just... I have a... Yes.
Oh, give me, you might have to go.
I don't, but give me 15 seconds. Tell us another anecdote.
Yeah, I would love to tell you another anecdote. So what would you like? Just tell me something you'd like to know about, and I could just go on and on. Do you want to hear more about my rewatch? I could talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, tell us about that.
This is not, again, I'm not prioritizing this, but when I, like when I'm working out, for example, I need something to play that I'm not paying close attention to. So I've just been slowly, during my hiatus years, and I didn't realize until I was talking to you here today, Brian, that I watched for 13 years. Then took 13 years off, and now I'm back in. So I wonder what will happen here, like if I'm in these 13-year cycles. But I, even though I've been kind of slowly rewatching for, I want to say, since 2020, so 5 years, I'm only 3 years into that rewatch, but that's rewatching every Monday Night Show and Friday Night Show and pay-per-view that I missed. However, the Monday Night Show just recently became unavailable because of different streaming deals. So I'm getting through it a lot faster now. I'm going to wrap up 2009 here, and probably in the next month or so, and I'll be on to 2010. So again, just for context, I'll be approaching WrestleMania 26, and in real life, we just had WrestleMania 41. So I only have to catch up to WrestleMania 35. I think I should go back and check. I think 30. Yes, I just checked. 35 is where I started back in. So yeah, it's right around the corner. I only got 9 years to catch up on. Did I give you enough time?
You did. I'm back. Okay, so right. On to, yeah.
We're in five now.
That is a fun project. All right, so number five.
I do want to emphasize it's fun, but not a priority. So, some people that probably sounds like a huge waste of time, and I do fast forward through a lot because now in hindsight, I know, okay, this character is worth watching right now, or this person is never going to become anything important, so I can just skip this whole segment.
I see.
Because the show is split into segments, which people might be interested to know because of the different wrestlers and different storylines.
Got it. Yeah, I've not seen an episode of Raw or SmackDown.
Yes, I'm assuming almost none of your listeners have. So I'm hoping that this, maybe if they've even stuck with us, this is like an education of what wrestling is like.
For sure. Okay, so then my number five. You were talking about like duos earlier. I just have one member of sort of a duo. Not a friendly duo, more like rivals. And you mentioned one of them earlier in passing. But other than like the Stone Cold Steve Austins, the Rock, the Hulk Hogan's, the John Cena's, the very most famous guys that even if you're not into wrestling, you've probably heard of. These are like solid on that next level. And always going to be linked in people's minds. It's Bret Hart and Shawn Michaels.
Oh yes,
right. So Bret Hart, like a technical wrestler, more old school. Prided himself on planning matches and on doing things. In the way, how you're supposed to do it, doing things the right way so you're not going to hurt each other. Shawn Michaels, like the brash ladies man kind of character, and more acrobatic.
He had more high fly moves, but I'd say also pretty technical as wrestlers go. But you're right, Bret Hart is the premier technical wrestler.
So which of these two then are you going to guess? I'm going to put here, knowing me.
Definitely number five is Bret Hart.
It is Bret Hart. So,
and guess what? Bret Hart is my number five.
What?
We're in the same place.
This is awesome. Okay. So tell me more.
Well, in 1992, when I started watching, he was champion at the time that I first started watching regularly, and I kind of knew what was happening. So my introduction to him is he's a top guy. What I didn't know is he had years leading up to that where he's a successful tag team wrestler and just kind of like building himself up. He was they have mid-level champions as well besides world champion. So he was a intercontinental champion prior I missed all of those years. So my start with him is he's the top guy,
right?
And I think because of that introduction I always viewed him highly, and because technical wrestling tends to be my favorite, like when I watch with my family, my wife really likes the high flying, you could say some luchador type wrestling, but it's not strictly luchadors that do that style. Then there's the big monsters that just destroy people. Hulk Hogan would even be considered one of those bigger, tough guys. My favorite is the mat wrestling, the technical. That's Bret Hart. There's nobody better than Bret Hart at that style.
Yeah. Listening to people, like listening to wrestlers talk, because I listened to, I didn't listen to any like full podcasts or anything, but clips of people talking. And it seemed like there was a bunch of wrestlers from that era that were saying things like, the best match I ever did was against Bret Hart.
Yeah. Highly respected.
Right. Everything went well. highly respected by everyone except Vince McMahon, maybe?
Well, let me just tell the story. You said the duo of
the Montreal screw job.
Yeah, oh man. He just yes, that's what it's called. So okay, here's the story. And I don't know, you probably read all about it, but this is for your listeners.
Yeah.
So you've got Bret Hart, he's a champion. You've got Shawn Michaels. On screen, they're enemies, but in real life, they hate each other. So they're you know, wrestling isn't just you meet in a ring and have a fight. There's lead up to the matches where they're maybe doing promos against each other, you know, talking in the ring about each other.
Yep.
Well, they're getting personal. They're crossing lines into reality. So they're blurring the line of this is real, or it's like, I know this is wrestling, right, but that what he just said, that is real. He's really accusing, like one of them accused the other one on live television of having an affair, knowing that this man's wife and kids were watching.
Yikes.
So that's just one example, but it got personal. Backstage, there was a real incident where they got into a fight backstage where I think one of them got thrown through like a like drywall or something. I don't know. I can't remember every detail, but they hated each other.
Okay. Right.
Now flash forward to Vince McMahon can't afford Bret Hart's contract. So he works with him on an exit strategy to go over to WCW, who at this time is like they want to acquire WWF wrestlers because that's a bigger name.
Right.
And like basically anybody who came over from WWF got screen time because it looks like they're jumping ship over to WCW, which was mostly the number two brand, although they occasionally would beat WWE.
Right.
Well, I shouldn't say occasionally. They actually beat them for 83 weeks in a row during the WCW's height. I'm saying ratings wise. Anyways, so Bret Hart has a contract to go to WCW, but he is the current WWF champion. Vince wants him to lose to Shawn Michaels, which you would think he'd be willing to do because they're paid actors.
Right.
But it would be as if like George Clooney and Brad Pitt are doing an Ocean's 14 movie now. And the script comes and they're like, no, I don't want to do that. Even though you're paying me this money, I want to do something totally different because I don't like George Clooney. Well, so
right.
Brett.
Well, also, we should say Bret Hart did have creative control as part of his contract. So he was within his rights to say, I want a different than what you're planning. And part of it for this was it was in Montreal. And Bret Hart is Canadian, right?
He's Canadian, that's right.
So he didn't want to lose it there. At least as he tells it now, he would have been willing to lose it in some other way. But of course, that's 20 years later, 30 years later.
November 1997, one of the biggest moments. So, so everything you said is true. So he won't lose it to Shawn Michaels. So they come up with a different plan. But what Bret Hart doesn't know is that Shawn Michaels and Triple H and Vince McMahon and a few others, the referee, all have a secret plan to and not do what they're saying is the scripted storyline. So I won't go into all the details, but basically, with the referee's help, Vince McMahon comes to ringside, which is unusual at that time because he was more of a backstage character at that point. He comes out, tells the referee to ring a bell when Bret Hart's in a submission hold. He's not quitting, but they act like Bret Hart has now given up, and he loses the title by submission. Bret Hart just stands up angry. Shawn Michaels has to pretend he's angry because even though he was in on it for years, for 5 years, he had to lie and say he wasn't because of what the other wrestlers, how they would treat him for like basically screwing over one of their coworkers.
Right.
So some people, there's a story about Mankind, who we mentioned earlier, was so upset with this, he quit that night. But then realized, well, I still have to pay for things for my family. So Vince let him come back.
Whoa.
A wrestler named Rick Rude was in WWE at the time and left and went straight to WCW because of his contract made that possible. Anyways.
Wow.
So even though it's scripted, there are things that happen with real life. And I think that's what I like most about wrestling is when real life and the pretend life are blurring and you can't tell what's going on.
Right. And I think it was after this that Vince McMahon did start appearing more as a villainous character.
It led straight into the character of Mr. McMahon.
Right.
Which is like the premier villain of all time.
Right.
He did wrestle, although he wasn't a wrestler. He did wrestle.
Right.
Yes. This was another pivotal moment in wrestling history. And another one of my favorite matches. Even though it's not necessarily a great match between two of my favorites. But it just, for the moment, maybe it's more of a moment.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, so those both of our number five, right?
Yeah, so you're number four.
Okay, so then, I didn't say, but I have seen two Bret Hart matches.
Okay, what were they?
So I saw Bret Hart versus Stone Cold Steve Austin at WrestleMania 13.
You know, I'm glad you brought this up, because I was going to say we focus so much on Shawn Michaels, we forget about the fact that Stone Cold and Bret Hart have one of the greatest rivalries, and that match at WrestleMania 13, again, I mean, you know, I mean, I know you just like, did a little, you searched for like best things.
Yeah.
You're nailing it, because this is one of my favorite matches. Stone Cold, Bret Hart. It's a, I think it's a submission match at WrestleMania 13.
Yep. And just like so many crazy, like the final image of of that match is like so good. But yeah, the match is really good. Yep. Apparently, have you heard this? So they're not supposed to work bloody at this point. They're not supposed to cut each other, you know, to fake injuries, which was a thing at one point. But go ahead.
I was going to go on, but go ahead. I was going to say something about how they would make, I'm going to pass over how they would cut themselves.
Right. Razor blades. That they'd smuggle in. Well, apparently, so it was, they both decided, Bret Hart and Steve Austin decided they needed to do that for this match. And it was against the policies of WWF at the time. And so Bret Hart has a razor blade in his mouth.
Oh my gosh.
For the first like 10, 15 minutes of the match.
Oh man.
Then he spits it out and cuts Steve Austin's face.
I'd heard the beginning of the story.
Yeah.
I know that they independently decided to have blood in this match. I don't remember hearing that there was a razor blade in his mouth that whole time.
That's what I read. So something to check out.
I just had not heard that. That's messed up.
Yep. And then the other one was Undertaker versus Bret Hart at SummerSlam 1997.
Oh. Okay. What made you watch that one?
So if you go on YouTube now, you can see a bunch of these matches on the WWE channel. And they've uploaded like top 50 SummerSlam matches, top 50 WrestleMania matches. I didn't strictly watch through like top 10 or anything, but I skipped around to ones that sounded interesting.
Is that how you made your list? Did you make your list by just watching random matches and being like, yeah, kind of like that guy?
I watched matches. I did watch other clips, promos, and so promos are when they're vaunting, if we want to
talking about the like why they're mad or what they're feeling,
right? So I tried to look up big moments, tried to look up best moments from some of the wrestlers that stuck out to me. So yeah, so two matches there for Bret Hart. I think we're done, right? On to number four.
Yeah. What's your number four?
Okay, so my number four is Shawn Michaels.
Oh wow! So that's why you wanted to do the little combo.
That is.
Okay. Yeah. Well, tell me everything you know about Shawn Michaels.
I juked you, didn't I?
I had no idea he was going to be next.
Right. I will say this is definitely with the benefit of having a person's whole career to look back on. So I would say pre back injury and first retirement, Shawn Michaels would not be a top 10. But then do you know this story?
Of course.
So he's, you know, into all the stuff that you would expect a rich, famous.
He's talked about it.
Like young guy to be into.
Like he was into women, drugs, alcohol. Out of control.
Right.
And just, but then, I know the story. You should tell a little bit more of it.
Okay, well, you tell me if I'm missing anything. He hurts his back. I mean, all these guys are getting injured all the time. But he has to retire. Doesn't think he's ever going to wrestle again. His wife gives him a Bible, I think?
Yeah.
Is how this started?
After he hurt his back, he met his wife. And she was a Christian. And encouraged him to explore that. They have a son together, and he just hits rock bottom one day when he realizes like he's out of it, but he's also supposed to be caring for the son. And I don't know the whole story about did he do rehab or how did he was he able to go cold turkey with God's help, but total awesome born again experience.
Right.
Now you take it from there.
They pray for his back, and his back is healed. Mm-hmm. He goes back. He returns to wrestling. Is this when he joins D-Generation X?
No. So,
or is that before?
Can I back up and tell you a little bit of my experience with Sean? So, yep. Oh man, you mentioned that his earlier is not being maybe your personal favorite from what you saw.
Yeah,
I loved Shawn Michaels. he was a good. He went back and forth at this time in the mid '90s. Good guy, bad guy.
Yeah,
didn't matter to me. He was great. The style of wrestling that I really liked. Great character. He started D-Generation X at the same time as he was feuding with Bret Hart. So that's 1997.
Okay.
1998, he's in a match with Undertaker. He's champion at the time. Gets hurt, like you said, hurts his back. Drops the championship at WrestleMania to Stone Cold, kicking off Stone Cold's big run.
Mm.
And we think he's done. So to me, but I'm still hearing things about him. And when I find out he becomes a Christian, I'm a Christian at this time. Mm-hmm. I'm just so happy because my favorite wrestler has just become a Christian. And then, miraculously, 2002, August, he comes back for just like one more match, but it was almost like they didn't think he's back now permanently. They were just kind of testing the waters. He wears a shirt out to the ring that I think it's Philippians 4:13.
Mm.
Is that the one that's like, I can do all things?
Yep.
You know, probably using the verse incorrectly.
Right.
Still nice. There's a thought that counts. He had the Bible out
that's
there.
Right.
Have I stole your thunder now? Do you want to talk any more about his return?
I just wanted to say, so I've seen, so I'd seen two Bret Hart matches. I've seen four Shawn Michaels matches.
Well, this is a great person to spend some time with. Tell me the matches you watched.
Yeah. So, the first one I saw is probably the best match that I've seen. Undertaker.
It's gotta be. WrestleMania 25 and Undertaker, right?
Yes.
This is an amazing match.
It's so good. Shawn Michaels comes out. It's all like angelic choir and he's dressed in white.
Yeah, the dark versus the light.
Right.
That whole idea.
It's amazing. And then, just an amazing match.
I'm so glad you watched this match. You're right, Brian. This is my favorite match of all time. I remember I said there's two.
Yeah, I think it's mine too.
And one for the match. Shawn Michaels versus Undertaker, my favorite match, period.
Yeah.
Undertaker versus Mankind in Hell in a Cell, my favorite spectacle match.
Yeah. It's good. It's great.
You said there's four. What other three did you
watch? Okay, so I saw Kurt Angle at...
WrestleMania 21, maybe?
That's right, yep.
That was a good one. Again, another favorite.
And it's interesting, like he just... I've only seen four matches, but... how he adjusts to it's interesting how different wrestlers gel with each other or if they don't work very well together, and he just seems to like have a good match against anybody.
I mean, maybe even in your research may have read that this is something he's known for, just like Bret Hart. Like,
I'm sure I heard that. Yeah,
he's somebody that like he can get a good match out of anybody.
Mm.
Yeah, you're right.
I saw the follow-up, WrestleMania 26. The streak versus the career.
Oh yeah, yep. His final match, because in the story, then he loses Undertaker the year before and says, and Undertaker at this point is undefeated at WrestleMania. So it's like I can't remember the exact number, but at this point it would have been like 18-0. I don't remember exactly. So
I think
Shawn
right.
Michaels says, if I can't beat you at WrestleMania, I will retire from wrestling.
Yeah,
and he loses and does quit.
Yeah,
He really doesn't ever fully come back. They do one like kind of like fun match years later. Like
okay.
Just a one-time outing where he's in a tag team, but it wasn't. He never he retired, even though there is that one little match. Yeah.
Yeah. So
okay, what
else?
Did you say that was three? What's your fourth?
The fourth was just a random, I don't know how I came across this one, but it's Shawn Michaels, John Cena, Triple H. At Survivor Series 2009.
Oh, guess what? This is amazing. I'm coming up on that in my viewing.
Okay.
That's literally the next pay-per-view I have up.
Okay, I won't say anything about it then. I won't. But it's good.
It is interesting. My ranking is very slanted towards the late 90s and early 2000s.
Yeah.
There's like nobody, like John Cena, we've brought up a couple times.
Right.
Not a favorite of mine, nothing against him. I wasn't watching during his glory years, probably.
Yeah.
Even though he's retiring this year.
Right.
But there's a bunch of people that I like from the last 10 to 15 years that would be on my top 25, but not my top 10 who I like. Because these are not, I'm not ranking all-time best. I'm ranking my personal favorites.
Yes, of course. What is even what does best even mean when you talk about...
Like, I might think that my top favorites are the best.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, you ready? So, ready for my number four?
I'm ready for your number four.
All right. I suspect that you will talk about this character later.
Okay.
So feel free to...
Interesting.
Just save him your thoughts for when that happens. But okay. He has to come up on your list because he hasn't come up yet. And he's maybe the most important wrestler other than Hulk Hogan of all time.
Okay. It's got to be The Rock, right?
Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Oh, Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Yes. I love Stone Cold Steve Austin. I mentioned that when I first started watching wrestling, Bret Hart was a champ. Well, like during my like time when I'm so into it, and it's like everything to me as a teenager, Stone Cold was like the main guy. Like just the story revolved around him feuding with the evil boss, Vince McMahon. The best rivalry, I think, and this is not a joke or an exaggeration. You mentioned Shawn Michaels and Bret Hart.
Yeah.
It's like that rivalry and the Stone Cold and Vince McMahon rivalry. These are the, in my mind, the top two rivalries of all time.
Yeah, that is fun. Him just like popping up unexpectedly.
Yes.
To
his music, his whole
the glass breaks.
Yep, exactly. Yeah, and so, yeah, just he wasn't like, he wasn't one of those people that like, what's the word I'm looking for? It wasn't like it was impossible to beat him.
Mm.
But he just always found a way. Like, you know, Brock Lesnar just seems like, how are we going to make this happen? You can't. Well, Stone Cold, like, he wasn't a giant, but he always found a way. His finishing move is probably the best finishing move of all time.
Mm.
Well, there's two that I really love, but I'll say his one and two. Stone Cold Stunner has to be in there somewhere.
Yes, that is a great move.
I'll just mention for wrestling fans that my top two moves are the Stone Cold Stunner.
Wait, let me guess.
No, sorry, I already said Diamond Cutter.
Oh, yeah.
The cutter
is great.
And
well,
also,
I was going to guess RKO. I was going to guess RKO, so I was going to be close. Right. Yep. Oh, Randy Orton. Right.
They're basically the same move.
Yeah.
They're a little different. And even so, the RKO and the Diamond Cutter are almost the same. And even the Stunner has a similar element.
Right.
Yeah. So, anyways, so Diamond Cutter, number one move, Stunner, number two move.
Nice.
To me.
Yep. Yep.
All right. Number three for you.
Those are great. Okay. Number three for me is going to be, let's see, do I want to do any sort of intro here? I think we've got to just kind of keep jumping into it. So I will say I did watch, as part of the research for this, I signed up for an ESPN account so that I could watch Crown Jewel. A couple weeks ago.
You're kidding me.
Nope.
Why didn't you tell me? We could have reviewed it on my show.
We had to podcast before I visited.
Oh my gosh. I would love to review this with you. Do you want let's do a whole different episode a different day and just give your experience with your first time pay-per-view. We have to talk about that.
I think that would be fun. So I won't talk about it a lot, but I will say I was doing it on the long run that I had that day. So it's a Saturday early because it's in Australia.
Mm-hmm.
I listened to the what was the Bloodline match? It was Roman Reigns
versus Bronson Reed.
Bronson Reed. Okay. So I listened to that one. I think there was a women's match after that.
Okay.
So I switched back to my audiobook. Not really interested in women's wrestling. Sorry, women.
I mean, if I remember correctly, I think it was a good match. But all right. Well, I want to talk about Crown Jewel a different day, but keep going.
Okay.
I can see this is going to heading towards number three.
Right. So I did. Well, yeah, I will save it. I will save the whole story. But
yeah, this is a great. I'm so happy to hear about this.
Yeah, I'll save the story for that podcast. But I will say my number three did fight at Crown Jewel. I don't think you named him, but you did reference him earlier.
Okay, interesting. Oh man, I mean, are you gonna go with just like the most famous person that there is? Which I'm just thinking out loud here. Which is John Cena, or would you go with now? Who have I said? I'm trying to think of the names I would have said earlier. I think maybe it was only John Cena that I've mentioned.
Yeah, you didn't say his name, but you referenced him.
I referenced him
in a reference you didn't think I would get.
Oh my gosh.
But he is now injured in real life, which is means they had to change storylines.
Yes, I did reference him. Okay. Oh my gosh, I'm so glad you're about who you're about to mention.
It's
go ahead.
Seth freaking Rollins.
Seth Rollins is amazing. He's not in my list right now.
Okay. Okay.
I'm going all time like back to the 90s, but this is my favorite current wrestler.
Yes. Same.
I mean, someday maybe he would be in my top 10, but his career is still, we're in the middle of this ride.
I mean, you say that he's in his 40s. I don't know.
Well, especially with this injury, I think this is the second time he's been champion and then injured and had to give up the championship. And so I think if I were him, I'd probably like do what I want to do on my return and then come up with an exit strategy.
Yeah.
I hope that's not, I'm not saying that's what I want to have happen, but
yeah,
like you said, he also has a wrestling school, so he may want to focus on that more. I love Seth Rollins.
But yeah, I agree. His story is not done. We definitely need more of him. So many great, talking about people that can wrestle against anyone, that are fun to watch in the ring, that you're talking about like more acrobatic, high flying maneuvers, cuts a great promo, as they say. So many good moments.
Really worked out for you.
So many great moments. So like so I've seen 8 Seth Rollins matches.
Wow. Tell me every just I won't talk about everyone. Just talk tell me the ones you watched.
Okay. So this would also be up there for favorite matches ever. Seth Rollins, Brock Lesnar, John Cena at Royal Rumble 2015.
Yep, I know this one.
That one's great.
That's definitely great.
The Heist of the Century match.
Yep.
At WrestleMania 31. Great moment.
Yep,
against Cody Rhodes, WrestleMania 38.
Mm-hmm.
Against Omos at Backlash 2023.
Yeah, I remember that match. That's not necessarily a great match, but it's a spectacle to see him wrestle that giant.
Right, right. Exactly. Him against Cody Rhodes, Hell in a Cell 2022, now when this, he hit the torn pec.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so did you know what was going to happen when he took his jacket off?
I did. So I went and looked at this one because I heard of what happened here. But
so,
still.
Listeners, I've got to tell your listeners that Seth is going to fight a guy named Cody Rhodes who had injured himself like that day or the day before just training, like lifting weights.
Mm.
Tore his pec muscle.
Mm.
So I'm watching this live. This would have been like May 2022.
Yeah. Yep. 2022.
Okay. And he wears a jacket to the ring, like always. He starts to, Cody, this is, starts to slowly take off his jacket. And all of a sudden, gigantic half his body bruise.
Mm-hmm.
And because what happened in real life,
the crowd goes silent.
You can't injure this pec any worse than it is. It'll be painful, but you can do the match.
That's what
so he did it. A cage match.
It's crazy.
When it comes to just like somebody who guts it out, one of the biggest gutted out performances I've ever seen.
Right.
And that's and it features my favorite current wrestler. So I love this match.
What a great match. And reading between the lines, it seems like maybe they were supposed to have Seth Rollins win that match. Like maybe just like if you're going to go out there, just do a squash match and Seth wins. And because Cody's going to be out for however long after that injury.
He didn't return until that was May and he came back in January.
Okay. Wow. It seems like maybe that was the, they won't exactly talk about it because, both of these guys, also seem to keep kayfabe, which is the fictional, how do you define that? Like the fiction
the world
of,
that they live in.
Yeah.
It's like, if you're keeping kayfabe, you're keeping the reality of the show real.
Yeah. You're not going to talk about the behind the scenes stuff because that breaks the illusion. But it seems like maybe Seth Rollins said, no, I'm not gonna that's the wrong move for me to beat him in this match. So anyway.
I haven't heard that before, but I could see that being true.
Yeah. In an interview, Cody Rhodes was kind of like saying, like, when I write my memoirs, like there'll be a chapter for Seth Rollins. For the good stuff he's done for me, kind of stuff.
This is a great example of like two guys who on screen have to pretend to hate each other. Yeah. But in real life, you get the sense that these guys really respect
right.
each other. Like, I think I've heard Cody say he believes Seth is the best wrestler today.
Wow. That's great.
Cody, and listeners, if you don't know, Cody Rhodes is like the current Hulk Hogan. He's like the right. main face of wrestling right now.
And the world champion, world heavyweight yeah. champion. I do get the championships mixed up.
Yeah, basically, they could just as well call it like the Monday Night Raw Championship and the SmackDown Championship, okay. but they don't call it like so. It's two equal world championships, and they call one the World Heavyweight Champion and one the WWE Universal Champion.
They're equal, but one of them goes back to the 60s, and one of them is like 10 years old.
The WWE Universal Championship goes back, like that's really the main one.
Okay.
And the World Heavyweight Championship is like the bonus one.
Yeah.
But they treat them equally, sure. though they're not the same.
I saw Seth Rollins against Damian Priest, Money in the Bank, last year.
Okay. I mean, I don't remember loving that match, but I'm sure it was fine.
And then...
CM Punk interferes, I think.
I think you're right. And then Cody Rhodes, Seth Rollins, Crown Jewel, the one I just mentioned. So I've seen eight. Yep.
I can't believe how many matches you watch of him. I love that. All right. Should we just keep? I mean, I love everything you just said, but should we just keep going through?
I think we got to wrap it up. Yeah.
All right. For me, this is one of the wrestlers that would be from just a generation before me, before my viewing. But I've been watching more older matches, specifically with my son, because he likes watching some of the old stuff with Hulk Hogan. So I just grew. I always liked this guy, but I grew to love him in recent years. And his name is Macho Man Randy Savage.
Whoa. The first one we referenced in this podcast.
I know. We talked about respect. I just respect how he worked so much. Like, as a character, is everybody who I love has technical wrestling, so I don't know if I need to keep saying that. That's just the style I like. But he also had some high-flying moves, very similar to Shawn Michaels, like when it comes to move sets. I just don't know what to say other than just so good at what he did. And one of the more recognizable wrestlers. Like,
yep.
A lot of wrestlers don't transcend the mainstream, but he was able to break through.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I will say, let me take a quick pause and bring Melissa in. I asked Melissa, which wrestlers have you heard of?
Okay, yes.
She named The Rock.
Okay.
And she named Hulk Hogan.
Yes, only just those two?
That was all.
I know from Dune, like she enjoys Dune, but there is a wrestler named Batista who's in there.
So when I prompted her, I said, you know, Dave Batista from Guardians of the Galaxy and Dune is a wrestler. She said, okay, I know who that is, but I didn't know he was a wrestler. When I prompted her on John Cena, she said, oh yeah, I've heard that name. When I prompted her on Andre the Giant, she said, oh yeah, of course.
Okay, did you prompt her on Randy Savage?
I didn't. I will do that and report back.
Yeah, just as she's ever snapped it into a Slim Jim and then said, oh.
Oh, no, I will say, when I told her that he was on Spider-Man, that he's who Spider-Man yeah. wrestles, she did remember that the character's name was Bonesaw. And
okay.
Wow,
that's amazing.
So, yeah, so she knows who that is.
All right,
number three.
I want to talk more about Macho Man, but let's go to your number two.
Okay, I think we have to go to number two. He's already been on your list. And I've mentioned him a few times. This probably is going to be a surprise. It's the greatest gimmick in wrestling history.
Mm-hmm.
It's The Undertaker.
I love that he's so high on your list. He is great. I felt weird putting him lower, but yeah. I just have so many people that I like.
Yeah, this is probably a very much a person who's been into wrestling to the extent I've been into wrestling for the last few weeks doing research for this. Of a favorite character, right?
He's a great pick, and even Vince McMahon himself claims that The Undertaker is the greatest character
yes.
that's ever been in WWF or yes. WWE.
I think that's a good way to put it. So I watched 9 matches of The Undertaker. I mentioned a couple of them already, but I also watched, we mentioned probably a bunch of these already. I also watched Undertaker versus Rey Mysterio. I don't know if I mentioned that one. Let's see. Undertaker versus Triple H at WrestleMania 27.
Yep, these are all, I mean, I just want to say all good, but I know that you just searched the list of good matches.
Rock versus Undertaker on Raw, Christmas 2000.
Oh, I have no idea about any of that match. That's the first match you've mentioned that I can't visualize.
Yeah, it was just a random. It's funny though because it's a random match just on a random Raw episode, but it's, you know, those guys would have been, it would have been a had to be a pay per view.
Yes.
Like five years after that or something.
less than that, but you're right. This happens all the time. If you were to watch random SmackDown or random Raw episodes from 98, 99, 2000, 2001, I know I'm going on and on, but it's crazy the types of matches they had that have giant, just huge names. Like when the NWO came to WWF in 2002, it would have been, I think 2002, there's a match that was like Stone Cold and The Rock versus Hulk Hogan, Kevin Nash, and Scott Hall.
Wow.
Just like just a random SmackDown.
That's crazy. And then I saw a couple casket matches. Those are fun.
You know, that is his specialty.
Yokozuna and Big Show.
I mean, I'm sure I've seen both of those, but I can only picture the Yokozuna one.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, fun character, very agile for his size. So that's fun. Could have been for a while when I was making this list was number one and could be a number one, but right now he's number two.
Okay, I love it. All right, well, by number two, we have not mentioned even one. We have.
Oh, okay.
We mentioned it when you were just talking about some different matches you saw.
Give me some hints.
All right, he's an Olympic gold medalist.
Oh, Kurt Angle.
Kurt Angle won the gold medal for wrestling in the 1996 Olympics. Shortly after that, transitions to professional wrestling. It just immediately takes to it. He's great. Just one of the most perfect professional wrestlers there ever was. In 2000, so he starts, let's just say, around 99, 2000, can't remember exactly.
Yeah.
In 2006, he leaves WWE and goes and wrestles for a competitor, a different promotion.
Yep.
He never TNA. Really comes back. And that's right, comes back years later. And again, I don't have the years in front of me, but let's just say 10 years later, 11, 12 years later. And I've heard Kurt Angle say this, and I think it's 100% fact. If he had stayed in WWE and never left and made all of his, had all of his best matches, because he was doing great matches over in TNA, the competitor.
Yep.
I think he'd be considered the greatest professional wrestler of all time if he had never left. But leaving, it does make a difference if you're not there at the number one organization.
Right.
But he's amazing. I don't know if you have him on your list or if you watch many matches, but everything he does is smooth. And he was good on the mic and obviously a great wrestler with his Olympic background. What do you know or think about Kurt Angle?
Yeah, I saw four of his matches.
Is he on your list? Is he your number two or one?
We'll have to see.
No, he can't be your number one, obviously. I know who your number one is.
I will say, we'll see. I don't think you do know who my number one is. But yes, I just as an overall wrestler, also great, technical wrestling, high flying, very funny at times, very intense.
Yes, super funny. Yes, yeah. You're right.
Could play the goofy guy, could play the guy that you're really afraid of, shorter Brock Lesnar.
You're totally right. Exactly what you're saying. He could do anything.
Yeah.
He might have been the perfect wrestler and he should have stayed. But he was having, and he's been public about this, he was having issues with drugs as well. And it just, he just lost his way and it just didn't want to be there anymore. But he's super intense and scary. And then also goofy and funny, depending on what they want his character to do at that time.
Yeah.
Well, you nailed it. Your research is, spot on. All right, let's do this.
All right.
We got to wrap this up.
Gotta
been
do
going
it
for a long time.
Sorry.
An hour and a half of wrestling. All right, what's your number one?
Did you do your number two? Oh, you did. Kurt Angle.
My guess was going to be The Rock, but you said I'm not going to be able to guess it, so it must not be The Rock.
It's not The Rock. I don't think you can guess this. Although I will remind you that when I was a kid, I was watching or I was playing WCW games. And the only match I saw as a kid was... So WCW. Really
keep going. Give me some more clues.
This is much of a hint. but did stay in the WCW for a while, came to the WWE at one point, also wrestled for some of those other competitors we've mentioned.
Okay, there's passing. A name coming to mind, but I might be way off. So I'm just going to make one guess, and then you can say no, and then tell me who it is.
Let's do it.
Is it just our totally random guy we haven't brought up today?
Correct. I wouldn't say he's totally random, but we have not mentioned him.
A character on my mind that's named Raven. Is it possibly that your number one wrestler is named Raven?
It's not Raven. It's Sting.
Oh, my gosh. Of course, Sting. How could I miss Sting?
So, like, when I was a kid, like, this is what a wrestler is. Obviously, Hulk Hogan is a bigger or a macho man, but like Sting was so cool.
Oh man, I can't believe I didn't guess it. Yes,
yeah,
of course.
Yeah.
He's the main good guy of the whole NWO story.
Right. Right. So he's there. He's briefly in WWE. He was in AEW.
Yep, that's right.
And then TNA, and just retired a couple years ago. So he's in his 60s a couple years ago, still having, you know, pretty good matches.
He just appeared at the AEW pay-per-view this last Saturday as we record. So he's still,
wow.
He's still happening.
That's fun. Yeah, just like the complete package of very charismatic, could like talk off the cuff, could get the crowd into it. Fun wrestler, like not the best wrestler, but very good, fun to watch. I like that he had a long career. I like that he was like loyal to WCW, and certainly again suffered for that as a like career reputation, but nostalgia certainly playing into this one, but Sting is my number one.
That's a perfect pick.
And I watched 10 matches. I won't tell you all of them, but I watched 10 matches.
Actually, I have to just step away for one quick minute. Just start naming them, and I'll listen to them later. I'll be right back.
Okay.
This is perfect for 10 matches. Go ahead.
Perfect. Okay, so I started with Sting versus the Great Muta at WCW Great American Bash 1989. Sting versus Randy Savage. It was a no disqualification WCW title match at WCW Spring Stampede 1998. Submit or Surrender versus Cactus Jack, who was Mick Foley's WCW character in 1991. At Bound for Glory 2006 against Jeff Jarrett, so that would have been an AEW match. Against Kurt Angle, that was a good match. It's like prime Kurt Angle versus older Sting. But still a great match at TNA Bound for Glory 2007.
I am back, but keep going.
All right, another Sting versus Cactus Jack match at WCW Beach Blast 92. Another Kurt Angle versus Sting match for the TNA World Championship in 2007 against AJ Styles at Bound for Glory 2009, and against Jeff Hardy and against Vampiro.
I love Sting.
Yeah,
The whole character. I mean, I want to talk about his look with you in a second, but
yeah.
I kind of missed. Like, I started just a little bit too late to be all in. I'll tell you what I mean by that.
Yeah,
he had his colorful face paint stage.
Right.
He was like surfer Sting at that time. So I'm introduced to him right before the NWO hits, and like I said, I was very sporadic with WCW until the NWO. Then he changes and gets more of a look that looks just like The Crow from the Brandon Lee, is that his name?
I think
Brandon Lee movie.
Right.
White
face paint.
Like that's the Crow version of,
Crow
version of Sting. So black and white rather than multicolored.
He didn't talk for like 9 months or something. A year.
I mean, you might be right with 9 months, but yeah. So I liked him. I always thought he was a really fun character, but I don't know. I feel like my exposure to him was minimal. Then when WWE bought WCW, he never went over for years.
Yeah. Yep.
Went to TNA instead. And his very short visit with WWE was when I wasn't watching. So
okay.
I haven't even gotten to that part. So all that to say, I do think he's great. Such a great character.
Yeah.
But I feel like I didn't spend a lot of time with him, which is, I mean, I know that's not probably true because, you know, I have 1996 to 2001. But anyways. So he's not on my list, but I do really like him. I think if I was to look at my top 25. In fact, I do have him on that list. I think he might be 24 or 5 on that list, just like, because you can't ignore him altogether.
Right, right. Okay. Well, then I want to hear what your number one is.
He's my number 24. All right.
Number 24. Great. That's higher than I expected.
Number one for me. Number one. Here we go. This is a character we've already talked about, and I've given all my love for him already in this episode, but I just didn't want to be anticlimactic and say, and he's my number one. I kind of feel now like just saying his name is going to be anticlimactic, but there's a character I've loved even back when he's mostly a bad guy when I first started loving him. Mm. When he became a good guy, I was happy as a little kid. Mm. When he became a Christian, I was so excited. He had a great first act in his career.
What?
But his second act was even better. Shawn Michaels.
I did not know this was your favorite.
He's my definitive number one of all time.
What?
Like I've always loved him. Like this is, if you were to ask me at any point in my wrestling history, let's say starting in 1994 or 1995, who's your favorite wrestler? It would be Shawn Michaels.
Before that,
there were some others I liked before that, like Bret Hart, Kevin Nash, who was Diesel at the time. I think those three would be the only people that have ever at any point been a number one guy to me. But Shawn Michaels was the definitive, like, for the last 30 years, this is my main favorite wrestler.
Wow. I think I surprised you by having him. And then you surprised me.
I was happy. I know. Okay, I want to just give some quick runners up that I just love, that I just want to give a shout out to. So I do have a 25.
I think we're all surprised The Rock didn't make your list. Well-documented fan.
That's a whole conversation. I love The Rock. I think he's very funny.
Yeah.
I never loved his wrestling.
Okay.
He's such a funny character, like so great on the mic. That was his his real skill was on the mic.
Yeah.
And I am very supportive of his movies, of course. But he's not. Yeah, he's just not a top 10. He is a top 20.
He had a fun, frenetic style in the couple matches I've seen of him when he was younger.
These might not be, like I said, this is my list as of today.
Okay.
I might change it. In the future.
Yep.
But will you start with 26 and then and we'll go fast through this.
Okay, 26.
AJ Styles.
25.
The Million Dollar Man, Ted DiBiase.
At 24.
Sting.
Nice. 23.
Rob Van Dam.
22.
Chris Jericho.
I thought he might make your top 10 for some reason. Him. 21.
Kane.
Oh, yeah. 20.
Batista.
19.
Rey Mysterio.
Yeah. 18.
Goldberg.
Okay. 17.
Roman Reigns, current wrestler.
Yeah. Let's talk about him when we do your the episode on your show about Crown Jewel.
Okay.
17.
Right, no, we're at 16. At
16.
Seth Rollins.
Yeah. 15.
Oh, this is wrong. Actually, I can see I messed up because my 15 is CM Punk, and I like him less than Seth Rollins and Roman Reigns. So just
interesting
about that. But CM Punk, I do like.
Okay.
Okay. Number 14, classic pick, Mr. Perfect.
Oh, yeah. Kurt Hennig.
That's right. Number 13.
13.
The Rock.
Number 12.
Mick Foley or Mankind. But then this is where I had Razor lower. I had him at 11. This is Scott Hall. But then I decided to tie him up with Diesel and move him all the way up to 7. So it's a little bit off. I think when I added AJ in, I think I actually made 25 if I had a tie.
Yeah.
So there you go. 26 wrestlers I like, all in an hour and a half.
That's awesome. All right, I have to give Melissa's very quickly. Do you have 5 more minutes for me to give Melissa's?
Yeah, I mean, we've been going an hour and a half. Let's do 5 more okay. 5 more minutes.
All right, so Melissa did what I... Okay, so here's the story, Matt. I said, let's do this episode, and I did like 15 minutes of research on Wikipedia and made a top 10 list. Then I actually started, watching some matches, watching some clips, and it's basically this is all I've done for the last few weeks.
Are you glad that? So I kept on postponing this. Did you have more time to watch more matches?
I did. I thought it would be fun to get up to like 10, 9, 8 for my top 3. I was just like half an hour before we started, I was finishing the last Sting match I wanted to see.
Man, so I did you a favor by postponing this so often.
It worked out. So of course my list changed the farther I went, but Melissa did about the same thing where I showed her some pictures of some wrestlers from the WWE.com list of of wrestlers, and I showed her like 30-second clips of some of these guys. And so she made her own list that she wanted me to share. So number 10, Haystacks Calhoun, who I'd never heard of.
I'm familiar.
Okay.
I know him. I know he wears overalls.
Okay,
I can't picture his face.
Number 9, the Iron
Sheik. He's a giant of a man.
Yes, he is. Number 9, the Iron Sheik. Just wow, a really Iron fun heel.
Yep.
Number 8, the Million Dollar Man, Ted DiBiase.
All right, he's on my list too.
Yeah.
There you go, Melissa.
Number 7, Andre the Giant.
Okay.
Number 6, Sergeant Slaughter.
I mean, I love Sergeant Slaughter, but mostly because when I was a kid, I watched the G.I. Joe cartoon.
Yeah.
And the version I watched, and maybe this was just the standard, I don't know, but Sergeant Slaughter would like introduce the episodes. He was like the host. He'd be like, all right, maggots, today we're going to learn about. No. So yeah, I thought he was a G.I. Joe. I didn't realize he was a wrestler first.
Very funny. Number 5, Jake the Snake Roberts.
Oh my gosh, another great. I mean, this
great pick, right?
Yeah, just such a great pick. If I had been more exposed to him when it comes to his wrestling, because of like he was just a little bit earlier than my viewing, I think he'd be on the list. But everybody loves this guy.
Yep. Number 4, Roman Reigns.
All right. Yeah. So, and we'll talk about him when we discuss Crown Jewel. But
that's right.
Seth Rollins is my favorite wrestler right now, but Roman Reigns is the best character in modern wrestling.
Interesting. Yeah, I definitely want to talk about him.
He might be the better face of WWE rather than Cody Rhodes, but it seems like Cody's like the typical good guy face of wrestling.
Yeah.
Roman is a little bit more in the gray.
Right. Yeah, I could see that switching at some point.
Yeah.
Number 3, R-Truth. Very funny character.
Very funny. Not a favorite of mine, but very funny. He did recently. You might have heard this story though.
Okay.
He recently got let go. Like,
right.
They were doing budget cuts, and there was such an outcry from fans and people like his coworkers.
Yeah.
Like other wrestlers.
That John Cena, right?
Hired him back. They hired him back out of nowhere.
Nice. Okay. And then for the top two, I will say.
This is Melissa, right?
This is Melissa. For the top two, I showed Melissa and the girls the final match of Crown Jewel.
Okay.
We can talk about it more on your episode, but those are her top two.
Okay. So
I will let you guess which order, who she likes better.
She's got to like Cody Rhodes better.
Cody Rhodes is her number 2. Seth Rollins, number 1.
What a great number 1.
Isn't that a great number 1?
I think you guys did pretty good with this whole experiment. Because we entered this in semi-humorous territory where I just thought, I mean, I obviously like wrestling.
Yeah.
But you don't like wrestling. But it seems like...
I kind of like wrestling.
You kind of came around on it.
Yeah. And let's talk about that in your episode. If I'm interested in continuing that kind of thing. Yeah. Okay. No, I've had a lot of fun. I've had a lot of fun. I really respect the game. Respect the game. And...
It's like a unique form of art.
Yes. And it has been fun to be into it for the last few weeks.
I can't believe it. Okay. So listeners, if you want to hear more on our Patreon feed, which you can find at patreon.com/thesci-fi-christian, I'm going to interview Brian about the recent wrestling pay-per-view, get his thoughts as a first time viewer. And then let's find out what's next for you. Are you going to keep watching it? Like, will you be on my...
Right.
Can I text you about wrestling now? Like, right now, I have, like, 2 friends who I text about wrestling.
Do you want
to be another friend who I text about wrestling things?
We'll find out. To be continued. All right, let's head towards the ending music, and I've got something for the after music, and then we'll be done.
All right,
thanks for listening. Let us know your favorite wrestlers, what you think about professional wrestling. Email us tto@kozer.us. Until next time, I'm Brian Kozer.
I'm Matt Anderson.
You've been listening to 10 to 1. Okay. And do you have 2 more minutes?
Yes.
Because I have my actual top 10. Because The top 10 that I gave you was crafted to tell a story, Matthew.
I don't like being played around with. You know that.
I had to tell about my history, and I also had to set it up as me not being as into it and saying I have watched zero matches of this guy. It wasn't that fun. Wasn't that a fun? Okay, so here's my actual list.
Wait, what are you saying? Are you secretly a wrestling fan for like years?
No, that was all real, but what I'm saying is Andre the Giant is not in my top 10 after having been into it for a few weeks.
Okay, so now that, so you're like, you made a list, but yeah. Now that you've been watching it, now you have a more refined list.
Yeah, I would say all those guys would be in like a top 25 if I made a top 25. So here's my actual...
I'll just do a quick read. Yep. Number 10.
Mick Foley.
Love. Number 9.
Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Number 8.
Number 8, Cody Rhodes.
All right. Number 7.
And I think it was that that Hell in the Cell with the torn pec. I was like, yeah, okay. You've earned it.
Number 7.
7, Rey Mysterio.
Number 6.
6, Kurt Angle.
Okay.
He's actually on my
way
list.
Go.
Yeah.
Wow. Number 5.
AJ Styles.
Yeah. He's really great, isn't he?
He is really great. And he's the highest one that I didn't have on my list at all.
Number 4.
So number 4, Shawn Michaels. I think here it's about the same.
Okay,
yeah. Yeah.
Three.
My top 4 is the top 4 I gave you. Shawn Michaels, Seth Rollins, The Undertaker, Sting. So it was the bottom 6 that it was a work.
Wow. Yeah. Now I got your shoot list.
That's right. All right. That was fun.
I went into this. Yeah. Just thinking, all right, I'll be a good sport and talk about how I love wrestling and you can listen and add on some funny things. And now I'm coming out thinking I have a new friend that I can talk to wrestling about.
I think so.
Okay.
That was fun.
I can't wait. We'll continue the conversation. 1 week from today, let's do the same thing and it'll be about Crown Jewel.
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. Goodbye, listeners. Thank you.
Thanks, everybody. Thanks, Matt.
Thank you, Brian.
Bye-bye.